Welcome to Your Personal Power Pod, a podcast about aligning yourself with the life you want. And here are your hosts, Sandy Abel and Shannon Young.
Shannon, good morning. How are you today?
Sandy, I'm great. How are you?
I am good, thank you. Once again, I'm excited about today's topic.
This is a good one. I think this will be eye-opening for a lot of people. It was for me way back when I learned this lesson. So I'm really excited too.
Yeah. It's something that a lot of us experience in our lives. We either bring it on and are dramatic ourselves, or we live with or interact with people who are dramatic. And we may not even realize what it is. We just think, oh, well, this is how they react and it's not fun to be around, or this is how I react and it's not fun to be around. Mm-hmm. But one of our listeners said that she actually had to leave a job because there was too much drama. We're talking about drama today, among the employees, and that it wore her out.
Yeah.
So she asked us to talk about personal drama and why people create it and what we can do about it.
Easter egg number one, I think people who are dramatic don't understand that they're creating their own drama.
That is probably true. Well, I think some people don't realize they're creating their own drama. I think other people do it deliberately to manipulate and control, but we'll get into that in a minute.
Okay. So let's define drama.
Drama is when you or someone around you chooses to get emotional about a situation. Situations don't come with drama attached, but if you allow yourself to react in an emotional way, drama is sure to follow. Sometimes when something happens, it can be big and difficult or upsetting, but there doesn't have to be drama around it. People choose to overreact instead of just respond. And they become intense and create the drama in their lives. Then when they do that, their adrenaline kicks in and then things really escalate quickly. Dramatic people get easily worked up and excited and offended about all kinds of things. And sometimes it's a way to create power and control.
Sometimes it's just ignorance about your options for reacting in a situation.
That is true. If you were raised in a house where there was a lot of drama, or if you watched other people somewhere out in the world dealing with situations dramatically, you may have thought, oh, well, that's how I'm supposed to be. The problem is that drama is exhausting for everybody.
Yes.
The dramatic person and the people around them. And it can cause a lot of problems.
Drama tends to perpetuate drama.
It does. Like, I'm not a dramatic person, but if somebody gets really dramatic with me, I may just go for it too. And then you've got a huge fight, and then things are just out of control, and it's not a good plan. So it's important for each of us to pay attention to how we're reacting and what we're doing. And most of us have at least one drama person in our lives.
And lucky you, it's me.
Not anymore. Not anymore, which is great.
So I want to point out here, yeah, that I was a very dramatic teenager. I think a lot of teenagers are dramatic.
Yes.
Just by virtue of being teenagers and having a whole bunch of emotions and hormones that are raging through their body that they're not sure what to do with. But
exactly. There
are plenty of dramatic adults as well. And I was one for a long time. Honestly, I didn't know there was another way to be. I just felt what I felt in any given situation and expressed it and thought that's how things were done. You asked me once, was that because we were dramatic as parents? And no, I think I just thought you guys weren't being dramatic because everything in your life was good. That parenting wasn't hard, that money wasn't short, that jobs weren't challenging. I just thought things were good in your life, so you didn't have anything to react to. And that's totally false.
Yes,
I just truly
exactly. Didn't
know there was another way to be. And you asked me, you know, why did you change? And I can't remember the exact moment, but I think I just got tired. I got really exhausting. And honestly, I think it was dating that broke me because I just got so exhausted responding to the ups and downs in my life that I was like, I just can't.
Yeah.
And that's when it hit me. Oh, you don't have to.
Yeah. What a concept.
Right?
Wow. We're talking about the difference between reacting and responding.
Yes.
When people react, it's instantaneous. Something happens. Somebody says something, whatever. And you instantly your emotions kick in and you fly off the handle and you go bonkers and you just overreact often. Mm-hmm. And responding is when you stop and go, wait a minute, this big thing happened. I'm going to take a breath. Okay, now, what are my options here? What can I do? And obviously, this is a quick thought process, but you're taking a moment to get centered, assess the situation, and then you can respond. And then you're probably not yelling and running around and freaking out. Whatever you choose to do will be thought out and more productive than just reacting and carrying on.
You give away your personal power when you get dramatic.
Oh my goodness, yes. Yeah, you just lose it. Well, because your emotions kick in. Mm-hmm. And when you allow your emotions to run your show, sometimes it's great. You're happy and having fun and just feeling great and it's good emotional stuff. But other times, if you're feeling scared or abused or
stressed,
worked up about something, stressed, angry, and you let that run your show, it gets out of control very quickly. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to watch people around you, how they react to the drama.
Or your critters.
Yeah, I know dogs and critters are very sensitive to what's going on with their people. If you're upset, they feel your emotions and they will respond. And all you got to do is look at them. And if they're looking stressed or anxious or leave the room, there's your red flag. Pay attention.
Yeah.
Or the same as the people in your life do that. If they look stressed and leave the room, that's a big clue too.
But I think sometimes we attribute that to the words that we're saying as opposed to the energy we're giving off. Uh-huh. And so if you can get out of your own moment enough to pay attention to the living things in your life that don't know what you're saying or just responding to your tone or your vibe, that can be hugely eye-opening.
Very much so. If you're intense instead of calm, everybody and everything around you, even the plants, are going to pick up it.
Yeah, it's true.
All the living things are going to pick up on it.
It's interesting to me to note that there are a variety of reasons that people create drama. The first one is just because it's what they know. Maybe that's what was modeled to them, or maybe it's just what they came into the world with, and so that's how they react. But there are a few other reasons as well.
Yeah, like you said, it could be they were raised in a drama family. They just thought that was what you did. Or a lot of people create drama to avoid having to look at themselves or what's going on really. It'll shut others down, cause a distraction, and make it so they don't have to be accountable for what's going on. Other people do it for attention. They might feel ignored or not like what's going on. And it's a way to call attention to yourself. Mm-hmm. If you suddenly have a meltdown, whatever's going on stops. People focus on you.
And have to take care of you.
Yes. If you feel ignored and like nobody pays attention to you, then that works. So people create drama. I know a woman who does that often. Anytime she doesn't like what's happening or doesn't like the topic that's being discussed, she will just get all worked up and start crying and curl up in a little ball and have a little fit all by herself there just because she wants to change the subject and get the attention.
Wow.
Yeah. And it keeps her stuck in the victim role. But for some people, that's a comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely a way to manipulate and gain control of the situation or of other people. And it also keeps others' expectations of you low so you don't have to perform. You don't have to rise to any high levels. You don't have to do anything big because people don't expect much of you because you're just so dramatic about it all. And so then you don't feel like you're letting anybody down, which is a little skewed, but that works sometimes. Mm-hmm. And it can also be self-destructive. If the dramatic person has low self-esteem, they might create drama just sort of to beat themselves up. And it's definitely a distraction from reality. It changes the focus so that if you bring up a topic somebody doesn't want to discuss, they can turn it around and start attacking you or, you know, why are you saying that? Or I can't believe you think that way or whatever. And it totally changes the subject. So it's a distraction. And so you don't have to deal with whatever the real issue is.
I think it's interesting that all of these reasons can exist, even if you're unaware of it. I think there are absolutely people who employ drama as a means of manipulation, but I think there are also people who are just kind of stuck in this cycle and aren't sure why. And if they were to get really real with themselves, they would be able to say, oh yeah, I'm doing this because either I can't deal with whatever it is we're talking about or is going on, or I just want a distraction. I think that
right, exactly.
It's unconscious in a lot of situations.
Yeah, I agree. Or they were raised in a dramatic household and they just think that's how you deal with stuff.
Yeah.
And then they start to notice that the people around them who aren't part of that household are sort of avoiding them or just getting really quiet when they take off, you know, mm-hmm. start carrying on.
I know a person who was raised in a very high drama household and just to the point that he cannot have it in his life anymore. It will shut him down if it appears. He wants to deal with people in a very unemotional way. And if you raise your voice or your energy level rises or the intensity picks up, he just can't. It's like his receptors are burned out.
Is he just shut down?
He just shuts down.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a protective thing. If you were raised in a dramatic family, you learn that it's really painful and it hurts a lot. And so you just don't engage. You totally disengage.
So there are ways to deal with these people or if there's drama in your life. Yay! Thank goodness.
There are always ways to deal. First of all, identify who they are or if it's you and decide that you don't want to be part of the drama anymore. You have to be aware and then make the conscious decision that this isn't the way you want to live your life. And then you put boundaries around yourself and give yourself permission to stay silent or leave.
And if you don't know how to do that, visit our boundaries episode.
Absolutely. Yes. Because it's important to be able to set boundaries around yourself with all kinds of behavior from other people. And a lot of people don't even know they have the right to do that.
Yeah.
They think that's being rude or not responsive, but you have to take care of yourself first. And that starts with awareness and boundaries. And you just need to disengage emotionally. If somebody takes off verbally, and I guess my phrase is flies off the handle, just sort of shut down and disengage. And know you have the right to not participate. Mm-hmm. Even if they escalate to try to get you involved, you don't have to say anything.
That's a big part of parenting. When your little kids have a temper tantrum, and you hear it in Walmart all the time, you know?
Yeah.
Do we need to leave? Because if you keep screaming, we're leaving.
And that's good parenting, is you're not responding to the drama, but you're responding to the results of the drama, which is you're distracting other people and making it unpleasant for them, and that's not okay. So we're leaving.
Yes.
And that's the consequence. But you're not down on the floor with the kid having the tantrum saying, oh dear, are you okay? I'm so sorry.
Or yelling back at the kid, because you see that too.
Right. Yeah, I've seen people yell back and I've seen people down on the floor with the kid. And it's like, oh my goodness, you are just perpetuating this behavior. And this is going to be a dramatic adult. You can tell it right now because they're getting great attention for this behavior.
That's wild.
Yeah, I like that you say we see it at Walmart, but you see it at all over the place.
Yes.
Not just Walmart.
Not just Walmart.
So you have to be able to speak less. That's part of disengaging. And listen more if they calm down. If they don't calm down, you do like the parents do and say, look, if you need to continue this, I'm going to go outside or I'm going to go in the other room or I'm going to leave and I'll see you tomorrow, whatever. And then you have to follow through and do it.
When you can talk calmly, you can come out of your room.
Exactly. I think we used to say that to you.
Yeah. Oh, very much. Often.
And then you would go to your room and slam the door.
Well, yeah. I got to get the last word in.
Well, yeah, you have to. Yeah, right. But then you were alone in your room, so whatever. Right. And we were in a drama-free living room, which was fine. And if you're dealing with somebody like this, you just watch them and know that not everything needs a reaction.
Yes.
And that you can shut it down in a variety of ways.
And another thing that I was stunned to learn during arguments was saying, I'm not going to play this game anymore. Is absolutely continuing to play the game.
Yes. Unless you say it and then leave the room.
And then leave. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It has to be, this is not okay. I'll talk to you later. Goodbye. And then you get up and you leave.
Yes. Follow through.
But if you stay there and argue about how they're being dramatic, they're getting their needs met in some way. You got to stop.
So once you disengage, then how do you continue to take care of yourself?
Well, you start by paying close attention to who you spend time with.
Yeah.
First of all, if there's drama everywhere you go, you might need to look at yourself because it might be you creating the drama. Or maybe you're just choosing people who are dramatic because that's familiar for you. Mm-hmm. If you were raised in a dramatic household, you may not be the drama person, but it's a familiar behavior. So it's sort of a comfort zone.
Yeah.
But it's not fun and you're not having a good time. And it's really bad for you physically and emotionally and mentally.
Yes.
To be dramatic or to be around a drama person. So hang around with positive people who find the good and add value to your life and avoid those negative people. And then you can set and enforce boundaries and stay emotionally uninvolved when the drama kicks in. Give yourself permission to do that.
Yeah.
And avoid or completely let go of the negative, traumatic people.
That can be really hard.
I can, especially if you're married to one or if it's your child or your parent or whatever. You got to create distance. And you obviously can't end the relationship with a parent or a child. You can end a marriage relationship, but that's a big deal and hard to do. Mm-hmm. But your own survival
and health,
emotional health and well-being, yeah, are most important. And then make sure you take care of yourself. Eat well, get some exercise, find the joy in life.
That's a big one because a lot of drama has to do with negativity. So
yes.
Things aren't going well, somebody did something to hurt you, things aren't the way you think they're supposed to be. And then that's where the drama comes in. People mm-hmm. who are dramatic about joyful things are generally more fun to be around.
I like to call that enthusiasm.
There you go. There you go. So
instead
yeah,
of
so
drama.
Drama's exhausting, but negativity's exhausting. And if you delete one from your life, you may wind up deleting both from your life, which is just an awesome benefit.
Yeah. You know, I've noticed in the world these days, there seems to be a lot more drama. I don't know if it's just the news or social media or what. You will get what's on television. It's all awful stuff and people getting worked up and drama and oh my goodness, there are so many reality shows where people are just, the whole point of the show is to stab each other in the back and then get worked up about it.
And elicit reaction.
Oh, yes, yes.
Look at when we're going to the theater, we're there to see a dramatic performance.
Yes.
So, you know, if you want less drama in your life, maybe watch less drama.
Yes. And those shows, the less drama shows, are harder and harder to find. Well, you were in news for a long time. You were in media. And you told me at one point, if it bleeds, it leads. The happy things, I know you wanted to create a Shannon's Good News show, which would have been fabulous. And your news director said, I think that's a great idea, but it won't sell, which is sad.
Yes, it is sad. But by definition, news is things that are out of the ordinary. Which says that most of the things going on in our world are positive, which means they're not interesting because that's what we have most of. But I don't think people look at it that way. The news is, you know, this is the thing that's happened that's an anomaly to what's usually going on in the world. But because it's most visible, then that gets perpetuated. Like they used to say that if you wanted to do a good news show, it would have to be bigger and more extravagant than the bad news things in order to have the same effect, just because we see more good every day than we do bad. So you need more of it to recognize it.
Well, that's a nice theory. I like that.
Yeah, it's great.
I didn't know we saw more good than bad. I look for more good, but
the car accidents and the shootings and the war, that stuff, as much as it feels pervasive, is a very tiny percentage of what's going on.
Yeah.
So I'm just explaining why it was that the good news show way back 20 years ago was not a feasible concept, given that there were only so many networks, channels, whatever. That has changed. I think now people are looking for things that make them laugh, things that make them think, things that are quirky and unusual. And we're swinging to the other side of the pendulum where those types of shows are what people are looking for, just because we kind of got saturated with negativity. And a lot of us are like, I don't want to do this anymore. This isn't what I want to focus on.
Well, great. I like that a lot. And that minimizes the drama.
I agree.
And it's much better for your mental and physical health. It's all good. So I like that.
But I think we've all seen that meme floating around on social media about if you're watching your diet, like what you eat, don't just watch the foods and drinks that you're putting in your body. Look at everything you're ingesting. And that includes, what are you reading? What are you talking about? What are you watching? Who are you spending time with? I mean, be a conscious consumer of life, not just of goods and
food.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's an excellent point. And if you do that, and if you focus on the good parts, you won't have to have drama in your life, which I like a lot.
Your life will change, and it doesn't take very long. I mean, just try doing it for a day, consciously choosing the things that you put in your world, including the people, the things you read, the things you eat, the things you watch, and
the things you think.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
And your world will change quickly.
Yes. And it will be much more positive and happy, and you won't need drama in your life.
Yep.
And you'll feel good about what's going on. So you'll just be calm and happy. I like that.
Okay, I think we did it.
I hope people are able to pay attention to the drama in their life and decide what they're gaining from it and what they want to do about it and what it's doing to them.
Yes.
And what they want to do about it.
So you want to wrap us up?
Let's do it. Drama happens when someone chooses to react intensely and emotionally to a situation. And there are many reasons why people choose to engage in drama. Some people are raised in a family filled with drama, so it becomes their comfort zone, and they assume that's the way people are supposed to act. It can be physically, mentally, and emotionally destructive to those who are involved in it, both the dramatic person and those around it. Engaging in drama is a choice you have the power to change. You can pay attention to the types of people you choose to spend your time with. You can change dramatic situations by setting boundaries and making them clear, staying unemotional, and leaving if necessary. And you always have the power to surround yourself with people who are positive, happy, and deal with life in a calm and rational manner, and also to be that person.
Oh, I like that. Thank you, Sandy.
Thank you, Shannon.
We want to hear from you, whether it's your stories about how self-esteem and personal power affect your life, or if there are any topics you'd like us to address in future episodes, please let us know. And we would love for you to review our podcast. You can do so wherever you stream, or you can just visit us at yourpersonalpowerpod.com, click contact, and drop us an email directly. We are also excited to let you know we're now on Instagram, where you can find us at yourpersonalpowerpod. And if you want to learn how coaching can change your life, contact Sandy at sandy@insidejobscoach.com. Thank you so much for listening. We look forward to hearing from you. And until next time, find your power and change your life.